want to do an episode on like
Chernobyl.
Why am I saying Chernobyl? Who the fuck is Cheron? Yeah.
Chernobyl.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you'd like doing an episode on that. Sure.
Yeah, definitely. Depressing shit is my jam.
I know, like, I feel like it's just so your vibe. Nuclear shit gone wrong.
Apparently, they found a photo of me there. Like, you know, the elephant's foot.
So, you were the elephant's foot?
Yes.
I am the poor life choice. It's me. It's me.
This is well documented.
Yes.
Okay. We should start the episode.
This is another addition to the Tanvi montage of her saying, let's start the episode. But we never
When we already have. Like, you already know Sunidhi's going to include the part of you going, I am an elephant's foot.
Of course. Yeah.
Sounds delicious. Let's go.
Okay. I wish you could see how smart my face is. And because it's trying to maintain harmony.
Let's just get done with the intro, please.
Let me warm up my vocal cords. Welcome back, everybody, to the podcast. This is Sunidhi.
This is Tanvi, I guess.
And this is Anika. I also have a really bad cold and cough, so you will be hit with this sexy nasal voice throughout this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy. Like, raspy nasal voice. I know that gets everyone going.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Should I just make your audio just a little deeper while editing?
Yeah, just make me like corpse husband or whatever.
Just say choke That's... me. Say choke me.
I can't even laugh. It sounds like I'm hiccuping. What the fuck
hicking
is it?
Hicking up. You are hicking up.
I'm hicking up or hiccuping or hicking upping. I don't know. I'm doing that.
Hicking upping.
Yeah. Hiccuping.
I've never heard anybody say hicking up.
I hope
you. I'm hicking upping. Yeah, I'm hicking upping. That's what it sounds like when I laugh.
Hiccup is one word.
Good lord. Yeah, which is why hiccuping would be the instead of it's fine. It's okay. Yeah.
We all make mistakes. But anyways, this might be a Halloween special episode, might not be. Who knows? If it is, you'll see it in the title. But for now, this is just an episode where we're reading creepy stories. We'll be presenting to you some nice, juicy, great stories from creepypasta.com because it has a filter option, okay? Leave me, it's easy. So, shall we start?
Also, I have some stories that I heard in third grade and I do not know the source.
So. Trust me, bro.
Yeah, just trust me. It happened. I was there.
But anyways, the first story is called The World's Best School Psychologist.
Poo psychologist?
School.
Oh, school. Fuck, I thought you said poo. I was like, oh, people have like therapy for shitting. That's fun.
I imagine there is a job for that.
Like, oh, doctor, I can't shit today. Help me out. Girl, what's been holding you back?
No, they just hold your hand while you're on the toilet. And then you know tell you words of encouragement.
If it pays well, I'm down to do it. Be a future employer.
Really? It's going to be like, really, people with like proper like dietary issues or something like that, most likely.
Oh, I thought I'm just provide. Okay, no, then I don't want to.
Unless that's one scenario, and the other one is when they have like some trauma related to like pooing.
I'll do it for the homies, but yeah, that's about
it. You'll do it for the home. Okay.
If you ever want me to hold your hand when you're shitting, just let me know. I'll do it.
Good to know.
Also, if you listen to us, then I will also help you. No, I will not. I don't know.
The sentiment is there. The sentiment is there. But she will not.
I will be there in spirit to hold your hand.
Just message because her. I don't just know message where you her while, do, yeah. while you're pooping.
Yeah, just message me. I'm pretty quick to respond.
This is peak. Imagine your classmates to start messaging you, being like, this is how I'm going to start a conversation with Anika. I'm
hey,
pooping.
I'm just shitting.
Oh, that's peak. That's peak.
Nice.
Honestly,
and
I'll
also,
ask
you
about
have a
the
chance
consistency.
Of being
yeah.
Yeah, we can be like this person. Anyways. World's best school psychologist. When I was 12, I came to the conclusion that everyone in the world, including my own family, was against me. I was never a problem child, but my parents sure treated me like one. For example, I used to need to be home by 5 p.m. every day. This clearly restricted my amount of quote-unquote playtime outdoors. I wasn't allowed to have friends over to play at the house, nor was I allowed to go over anyone else's. I had to finish homework directly after I came home from school, no matter how long it took. My parents refused to buy me video games and forced me to read books and then write a book report on them to prove I actually read it. Now, even though those rules listed above were quite frustrating to me as a child, they aren't what upset me the most. What really hurt me was the lack of compassion on behalf of my parents. My mother was a bitter woman who always made me feel guilty about accidents or mistakes I've made. My father only knew one emotion, frustration. The only time he spoke to me was when he screamed at me for receiving poor test scores or beat me for misbehaving. But enough about them. Let's talk about my school psychologist. For his own privacy, we will call him Dr. Tanner. Like most junior high schools, a psychologist is always available on campus during school hours to assist any students in need of counseling, whether it is emotional, academic, social, behavioral, etc. To be honest, I have never seen any students talking to Dr. Tanner. Every day, I walk past his office on my way to the cafeteria and peek through his door's little window. He would always be alone in there, working on some paperwork. I guess that most kids were too afraid to speak about their problems to an adult who was practically a stranger. For this reason, it took me 3 weeks to muster enough courage to go into his office. March 2nd, 1993 was the day I decided to voice my troubles to Dr. Tanner. During lunch break, I stood in front of his office door and knocked.
Also, you said when you said like the dad is frustrated, I had such a strong urge to go sexual, but I did not because it went into abuse and sexual.
Bruh,
what the fuck?
I don't know what goes through your
know.
Head,
dude. There was an Australian woman who just went like. I don't know in what context, but she was just like sexual, and then it's just stuck in my head. I don't know where it's from, but anytime I see the word sexually, I'm like, I read it in that accent. Like, honestly, I read STDs as sexual transmitted diseases. I am met with Sony
silence.
Silence
is the only, only way to treat you. It's the only way.
Sexual.
Please stop. Okay. Where was I? Knocked, right? Through the window, I could see him raise his head, smile.
To the wall! To the sweat dripping down my wall. Sorry. Continue. I had to. I'm so sorry.
A part of my soul just died, you know.
I apologize profusely for that.
Like, it hurt. It actually just hurt my soul. Hope you're proud of yourself.
I really
I'm sure she is.
You know I am.
Yeah.
She's like, smug. You know.
I'm also proud of her. Yeah. Suniti, you're the only hater here.
I swear.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
It's mental illness, innit? Sorry.
Oh, no. She's turned to the dark side.
We love it.
I really have. Okay.
We're all just regressing. Okay.
We really have. Yeah.
Through the window, I could see him raise his head, smile, and motion for me to come in. And I did. He greeted me by introducing himself and asking for my name. Dr. Tanner was a very soft-spoken man who seemed to radiate kindness. In less than 30 minutes, I rambled to Dr. Tanner about how mean my parents were to me and how they didn't care about me at all. After a while, my voice began to quiver and I stopped speaking. The psychologist listened patiently to my whole spiel, arms folded and head nodding. I half expected him to begin talking about how everything I had just said was untrue and that my parents loved me dearly and blah blah blah. But he didn't. Dr. Tanner leaned towards me with a grin on his face and said,
"You know, I'm the best school psychologist in the world. I promise we will fix this."
I rolled my eyes. "Okay, but how?" I asked.
"I have my ways," he replied. "I'm a man of my word. I promise that within just 1 month, the relationship between you and your parents will change for the better. Forever.
After a brief pause, he continued.
Although, I do need you to make me a promise. You have to promise me that you'll come back to my office after school tomorrow and that you won't tell anyone that we had this conversation today. It'll be our little secret.
And I promised. The following day, I returned to Dr. Tanner after school. It was around 4 p.m. when I entered his office. After a warm welcome, he asked me to have a seat in front of his desk once again. Upon sitting down, I watched Dr. Tanner close the blinds of the door's tiny window. There, he smiled. Now we have all the privacy we need. We began to talk about my likes and interests, my favorite subjects in school, my least favorite teachers, and things of the like. About an hour into the conversation, Dr. Tanner offered me a soft drink. I gladly took the offer, considering my parents never allowed me to drink soda. Dr. Tanner reached over to his mini fridge and fidgeted around before setting down two open cans of soda on the desk. Afterwards, we continued to talk about what was going on in my life, but it wasn't long before I passed out from whatever drugs Dr. Tanner placed in my drink. It took me a minute or so to adjust my blurred vision upon waking. And when I did, I had no idea what to think. I was handcuffed to a bed and my mouth was sealed with duct tape. I immediately began to panic, squirming and tugging at the cuffs, but gave up soon after. My eyes widened in disbelief after looking around the room. There were posters of superheroes pinned up all along the walls and photographs of famous athletes on the shelves. In the middle of the room was an old television and Super Nintendo, various game cartridges stacked alongside it. I didn't know what to think. Here I am in a room filled with items most kids would die to play with. I would have probably cried from joy hadn't I been handcuffed to a bed frame. My stomach sank once again as the door opened and Dr. Tanner walked inside. He sat down on the edge of the bed.
Now listen,
he said.
Remember that I'm here to help you and I would never hurt you, okay?
Dr. Tanner gently removed the tape from my mouth and then the cuffs from my hands. My first instinct was to begin crying, but something about Dr. Tanner made me feel safe. He smiled at me.
You're going to be staying here for a while,
he continued.
And during this time, you're allowed to play with any toys in this room while I'm here at home. When I leave the house, I'll need to cuff one of your hands back to the bed. You can still watch television, but I want you to only watch the news channels when I'm away.
I sat in silence, still trying to process the information he had given me.
So,
Dr. Tanner yelled, slapping me on the knee.
You go ahead and knock yourself out. I'll be back when it's time for dinner.
He got up from the bed, walked across the room, and clicked the TV's power button before locking the door behind him. Several more minutes passed before I realized that Dr. Tanner wasn't joking. All that was left for me to do was boot up the Nintendo and play Mario until nightfall. At about 7 p.m., Dr. Tanner returned to the room carrying two plates of mashed potatoes and chicken strips. I finally gathered up the courage to ask him how long I'd be staying in this room.
Well, about a month, he replied, give or take a few weeks. I just have some work I need to do.
The following morning, I awoke to Dr. Tanner's hand patting my head.
Hey, bud, you don't have to wake up right now if you don't want to. But I am going to need to put this back on, he whispered,
clamping the cold steel handcuff onto my wrist. I gazed up at him. He was wearing a collared shirt and slacks, a coat draped over his shoulder and a suitcase at his side. He looked just like how he always did when I saw him around school. Before leaving, he placed the TV's remote next to me and told me to turn it on and watch the news. The first thing I saw upon turning it on was a breaking news segment. An important-looking police officer stood at a podium surrounded by people with microphones. I happened to begin viewing halfway through the speech.
A statewide Amber Alert has been issued as of this morning. We have several investigators working towards identifying potential abductors, but as of right now, there is not much evidence. Faculty members state that the boy has been last seen around 4 or 5 in the evening on.
I began to feel nauseous as a photograph of me appeared on the screen. It was my yearbook picture from last year. Captions for the photograph displayed my name and age, my school, and my town. Above my picture were alternating titles. FBI begins search for child, and kidnapping suspect unknown, and potential runaway. The live footage continued, and two figures I soon recognized as my mom and dad stepped up to the podium. Both appeared to have reddened eyes. Tears streamed down my mother's face as she took hold of a microphone. I'd never seen so much emotion come from my mother before as she wept on live television. stuttering on sentences such as, "Please return my baby back to me," and "I'm so sorry," and "Please come back, come home to us." When my father took the microphone, I nearly expected his attitude to be stone cold, but he too had tears in his eyes. He pleaded to the world to bring his son home safely, and lastly begged for my forgiveness.
"I know I haven't been the best father, but goddammit do I wish I had been now. Please bring my boy back."
I turned the power off shortly after. My emotions were mixed, for I had never once seen my father cry. I felt miserable that my parents were being put through so much, but at the same time, I felt relief. I know how much Mom and Dad love me. Nearly 4 weeks have passed, and Dr. Tanner has been treating me with the utmost respect. He leaves me in the morning, cuffed to the bed frame, but returns in the afternoon to eat lunch and dinner with me, talk and play games. I never would have guessed how good Dr. Tanner was at Monopoly and Scrabble. But one morning when Dr. Tanner woke me before heading off to work, I noticed a stern look on his face. I also realized that it was 3 hours earlier than when he usually wakes me.
"You need to watch the news today. No exceptions. I want you to keep the television on all day and pay close attention to it," he said grimly.
I, of course, complied and watched him exit the room. About 2 hours later, a breaking news segment interrupted the toothpaste commercial I was watching. The title: "Human Remnants Found." Two staunch-looking men in suits stood aside one another and began speaking.
"We are displeased to bring up such unfortunate news this morning regarding a missing child case for earlier this month."
One of the men bowed his head while the one speaking shuffled through some papers. He continued.
"Remains of a body have been found in a garbage bag beneath a highway overpass. The body appears to be that of a child, although not much of it is left. The body has been decapitated and much has been burned to ash and bone."
The screen shifted over to a helicopter view of the freeway. Dozens of police cars gathered near the bottom of a tall overpass. The man's voice could still be heard.
"Within the bag, police found a junior high school identification card labeled as such."
The screen showed the school ID card I always kept in my backpack. The plastic was sort of melted away, but my photograph and name were intact. After the two men dismissed themselves, the camera panned over to my parents. They were sitting among reporters. My mother's face held a painful grimace, and my father sulked his head down at his knees. I shut the television off. Dr. Tanner returned home very late. He hurried into the room, unlocked my cuffs, and placed a bottle of fizzing water into my hand. He placed his hands onto my shoulders and smiled.
"I made you a promise, didn't I?"
I nodded, tears squeezing their way out of my eyes. "You need to make me a promise again," he whispered. He told me that I needed to drink all the water in the bottle. It would help me sleep, and that from here on, I am never to tell anyone that I ever met him. I promised.
"I told you, I'm the best school psychologist in the world, didn't I?"
And he was right. I awoke later that night to find myself lying in the middle of a park, stars shining brilliantly across the night sky. I recognized the park. It wasn't too far from school. A mile or so down the road, I saw my house. The lights were off inside, but I could make out my father sitting on the step leading to the front door. I hesitantly called out to him. He lifted his head slowly, but when he saw it was me, he sprang to his feet, ran towards me, arms open, yelling my name. My mother erupted from the house behind him. Dr. Tanner was right. Things have changed with my family and I. My parents smile more often and treat me lovingly. I could not ask for a more perfect ending. Every now and then, I see Dr. Tanner on campus, walking to end and from his office. Rarely do we ever make eye contact, let alone speak to one another. Sometimes he'll shoot me a wink and a smile. I'll always keep my promise to him and pretend I never met him, but there will always be one question forever floating in my mind. Who did Dr. Tanner decapitate and throw over the overpass?
That's fucking terrifying. Yeah. I was with it until he's like, "Yeah, we found a dead..." Oh my god.
Can I call Gab?
Oh my god.
See, I mean...
On what?
I get that the relationship was fixed, but what the fuck?
It's insane. Yeah, it's insane.
Damn. Oh my god. The number of twists in this was...
You know, when I was first reading it at the beginning, I was like, please don't this be like an abuse case of like where the doctor does something to him. But then I kept reading, it's like, oh fuck, okay, I see where this is going. And the poor kid as well. It's like the poor kid's fully convinced that this is like, you know, like, yeah, he's fixed everything. This is a perfect ending. Oh, it was something.
No, okay. Have you seen Dark?
No, but a lot of people tell me to watch it.
Okay, yeah. It's rife with scientific inaccuracies, so if that bothers you, don't. It did bother me, but my father was watching it, and there's this one scene in it where there's this dude. I don't know if he's a priest. He kind of is, I guess. Anyways, so he locks up these, like, children in a room with, like, bright blue wallpapers with some sort of characters on it, along with a TV, like, you know, old-timey fat TVs. That's what I imagined, and I was so scared.
Oh, okay.
Oh. I'll post a picture, yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen that picture. Like, if you search Dark, I'm pretty sure that pops up at some point.
Yeah.
Well, then, I have a short one after that. After that whole mayhem. Okay. this one's kind of predictable. Well, not that predictable. But I think given, you know, college girls here, right? I feel like we can kind of apply this to us to some degree, you know?
Bro, anyways. What the fuck?
Anyways, this is called...
Excited, four, very excited. Mm-hmm.
This is called 4:03 a.m., basically. It was 4:03 in the morning, and I woke up screaming. It was my dream. In my dream, I watched everyone I ever knew or loved be killed by this creature. It had a short, fat body and long, slender arms, which ended with claws that looked more like swords than claws. Its eyes were slits that glowed red in the darkness, and its teeth were long like horns and sharp like steak knives. It looked at me before it killed them, and laughed each time before it ripped apart my loved ones with its sharp claws. How had it found us? It tricked me into letting it into my home by mimicking the voice of my father. It couldn't come in without permission. It told me after it ripped out my mother's heart. The dream ended with the creature laughing its evil cackle and slowly walking towards me, dragging its claws on the floor. I screamed and sat up. I was in my room, in my bed, safe again. 4:03. I hear a knock at the door. I froze up instantly. Tommy, I heard you screaming. Are you alright? I heard my mother say. What a relief. Mom's here. I'm fine, Mom. Just a bad dream, I replied, the relief washing over me. Okay, honey, I got you a glass of water. Do you want it? Mom said back to me. Sure, come in, I said. And as those words left my mouth, I remembered that it was September, and I had moved back into my college dorm 3 weeks ago. Dun, dun, dun.
I will forever be in online university anyway, so it's fine. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah. I mean, pretty fun, right?
Okay. I don't like sleeping alone as it is. What the fuck?
You're welcome.
Oh, no.
And it's very eerie, though.
I'm gonna have fun, yeah. If we ever get to college, this is going to be terrifying.
Just
thank
fuck
you.
With your friends like that. Honestly, just, like, get, like, a recording or something to try and, like, mimic, like, their parents, like, voice or whatever. And then just fuck with their heads. I feel like I'd do that on my couch.
You're just an asshole. I had a much better plan.
I love doing that. That's so funny to me. It's like they're going to freak the heck out. Especially if you like, tell them a creepy story days before.
So the university that I am in has like a huge ass campus with a lot of buildings that are like not in use right now. And some of them are under construction. So my base plan was that I would go and conduct like a full-blown seance in there. And yeah, leave it haunted for the future batches to come.
You know? Do it like when you graduate. Do it like right when you graduate. And I'll join you. I'll happily join you.
Done. Exciting.
Yeah. Tanvi, will you join us?
No.
The silence, well, like, don't you know, was, yeah.
Yeah. She's like, this girl, she's really asking.
Yeah. It's just not gonna happen. Anyways, what's up?
Anyways, what's up?
We're recording your episode, but yeah, what's up with you?
Oh, are we? I wasn't aware. Damn. Interesting. Maybe I should have pressed record a while ago.
Maybe.
Now that's the real scary story.
Ab kya kare? It's too late now.
It'll just be us like commenting to like a third person, no idea who that is.
I was a ghost all along.
That would explain so much.
Would it? Would it really?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, the title is very, very originally, My Fear of Water.
Ah, we like that.
I've always had a terrible fear of being submerged completely in water. Not that I can't swim or anything. My dad made me learn. He said I almost drowned when I was really young. I was afraid of it because, for as long as I can remember, whenever I'm underwater and look up at the surface, I see a woman reaching down to me with a warm smile, with glowing golden hair and dark blue eyes. Even if it's just in a bathtub. It always happened. It was just so normal for me, but I never got used to it. It was unnerving, but also soothing at the same time. She always made me feel like it was okay. I still avoided it though, because I was just a kid and it was really freaky. I never told my dad about it as a kid, but I did ask him about my mom. He never wanted to talk about her. Sometimes he even got mad at me for trying too hard to bring it up. It was only recently that I described this apparition to him. He nearly drove into a telephone pole. Obviously, he knew something. I asked him, again, about my mom. He still would say much, except that she died when I was very young and that she loved me very much. He also admitted that her hair and eyes were those colors just like mine. So I did some research on my own, looking up her name for myself on my birth certificate and trying to find any references I could, any new news clips about a boy nearly drowning, anything. I mostly wanted a picture, something I could match to my guardian angel. Today, buried in my town library, I found it.
Winchester, Mary Whiting, 28, drowned to death yesterday evening after climbing a razor wire fence and fleeing to a nearby reservoir. A funeral is scheduled by her family for the 25th. Mary was institutionalized just 6 months ago after being found not guilty of attempted murder on grounds of insanity. Her husband, Daniel Whiting, had acted quickly enough to rescue their infant child when she was found trying to drown him in a bathtub.
Short and sweet, am I right?
Oh my god. Nice, nice.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I'm not scared.
It's bloody sunny outside. How are you scared right now?
It's honestly, if you're in a situation where no one's supposed to be around you and someone's there, it's terrifying. Imagine you're just trying to shower or some shit and some weird blonde lady is coming and putting her hand on your shoulder like, hi girly. I will scream. Even if it's just like that, an imagination.
I used to be scared of that. Like when I was younger, I used to be so scared of that. Anytime like I'd shower and I'd like close my eyes, I just imagine like something's there. Sometimes it would feel like that even. But yeah. Thankfully I've gotten out of that.
Damn.
Yeah. Du, du, du. Okay, yeah. Why do I keep messing up the story thingy? Okay, the next one is called Stairs.
I am terrified of stairs, please. Oh god.
Are you?
No,
can
like
I ask why are you scared of stairs?
See, I'm not scared of stairs, but if I'm in a setting where I know it's like a horror movie or if it's like I know that I'm in a haunted house, I know the stairs are like the prime area where ghost activity
like running
is
up the
happen.
Stairs and then they're chasing right after you.
Bro, shut up. Why would you
feels
say
like
that?
Feels like they're going to grab
at
your
I
ankles.
Was just going to say that you're sitting in your room and you hear someone walking up the stairs or chasing after me. Damn, thanks for that.
Like, I used to live in, like, a two-story house before. And there, we had, like, staircase, of course. And whenever I would, like, switch off the lights to the ground floor and I would, like, go up the stairs, I always felt like somebody was going to grab at my ankles and drag me down.
Literally.
Always, it would feel like that.
Also, you know the space time. Under the stairs?
Oh no, terrifying. Fuck that. No, I hate that
literally.
So much. Why does that exist? Why do people think that that's a good idea? Like, I get it saves up space or whatever. But it's always like, that's the place that leads to the fucking basement.
No, but
it's like Shurak.
It's fucking scarier if it's like, you know, if there's nothing under the stairs. Like, if it has like a wall or something under it, then it's like, what are you hiding? Is there like a body under there?
It's
I don't know,
fully
man.
Like, if you can like, if there's like empty space underneath it, anybody can like, find their way to like claw into it and stay there.
Also
like a crawl space.
This is okay. So aesthetically speaking, I genuinely love how winding stairs look. But I have seen so many horror movies and I've been traumatized, but like they still look gorgeous. And if I ever were to make a house, I would put winding steps in it, but I know I'm gonna be scared. So
the sacrifices we make for the aesthetic.
Literally. Like in the daytime, but it looks also, so pretty. Like imagine putting like some.
If you're the kind of person who has a spiral staircase in their house, I don't know if I'd care to know.
It's for the dramatic flair.
Right, like,
also,
honestly.
No, but imagine like in like a nice setting, not a horror setting. If it's like, you know, a nice winding staircase and it goes up one or two floors and it has like, you know, some, I don't know, like money plants or just like some sort of creepers hanging off the things. It looks so pretty. But then you turn off all the lights and it's the middle of the night when you're trying to get water and you heard someone stomping there, like. I don't know what to say to you.
That's why I don't like, you know, like two-story houses or like houses on the ground floor. I've always liked the idea of apartments and penthouses and shit like that. I don't know. Freaks me out.
Penthouses are much scarier, by the way.
But they're literally like up in the fucking sky. How can anybody get it?
Because it's not an intruder. It's a ghost. They don't need to like Spider-Man their way up the fucking wall.
See, if it's a ghost, that's a different story. That's fine.
I'm not scared of intruders. Oh.
Maybe I'm we more scared of people together. Than I'm scared of ghosts.
I'm more scared of ghosts.
Oh my god. Why? People See, are far more scared. They can at least kill you. Ghosts are most likely just gonna possess you.
You can just like, I mean, I'm sure you all have knives
and daggers
and shit.
Yeah, but would you rather die or be possessed by a ghost? For me, it seems like death seems like a lot.
Tanvi, you want to die regardless.
That's true. I do have a death wish.
Oh my god. I feel like I want to get possessed just to know how it's like.
Girl, you don't want to be licking your own piss.
You don't know that.
Okay. Oh god. Moving on.
Sunidhi is the kind of person who like watched Two Girls, One Cup and got aroused.
I did!
That's disgusting. No, we're not talking about this. Sorry. I have nice, extremely short stories that I can fit in here if you'd like.
I mean, I have just two stories after this. So yeah, sure. Go for it.
Okay. So there's a person. This is just a one-liner. There's nothing like the laughter of a baby unless it's 1 a.m. and you're home alone. Enjoy. Do with that what you will. Ghost babies are scary.
Babies in general are scary. I don't know what you're on.
No, like ghost babies and mirrors terrify me. Speaking of, I woke up to hear knocking on the glass once again. At first, I thought it was a window until I heard it come from the mirror. That's fucking scary. I don't like mirrors.
You know, originally, like, okay, you guys have seen my room, right? So, like, this, you know, my cupboards, how they stretch out, right? I originally, like, my idea was in between the cupboards, there would be, like, a vanity area. It'll be, like, a small shelf and a full-length mirror right, like, across my bed. My mom's like, don't you fucking dare do that. They, like, don't have a mirror right in front of you while you're sleeping.
Literally.
And
don't.
I didn't think of that. Like, I only thought, like, during daytime how that would be. Imagine sleeping and you see your own fucking reflection while you're sleeping. And then you see something behind you. No.
Dude, it's not even behind you. Like, at night, if I'm like the only, I'm usually the last one awake in my house. I sleep decently late. And whenever I'm like in the washroom or just brushing or some shit, like I have to look at the mirror because it's right in front of my face. I can't even look at it without getting creeped out. Like I can't look at my own reflection without getting creeped out at night. I don't know what it is. Mirrors are fucking terrifying.
There's this like
also
thing, like,
when I wake up in the anyways, I don't feel like waking up in the morning. But if I do and the first thing I see is my face, I'm gonna go back and not like that's it. The day is over then. So don't. Anyways, I don't think anybody should have like a mirror right in front of their bed, even if they aren't superstitious.
Yeah. It's not even superstitious. It's like say you're even if you're a little stitious. I'm so sorry.
A little stitious.
It's just say, about to make that.
We're becoming the same person. It's disgusting.
This is not
Stop it.
Good. Yeah. Neither one of us wants to be this person. Like, it's a problem.
Like, even if there's a mirror, like, anywhere in your room, it could be facing, like, a fully different direction for all you care. if there's no lights in your room, I also don't like the dark. I hate everything in general, just putting it out there. But imagine you're just lying down in the dark and you hear some sort of knocking sounds. It could literally be the tree outside your window just flapping around in the wind. Anything. You just directly think it's a fucking mirror. I don't know if it's me, but I am terrified of mirrors. No.
This just shows how much like more scared I am of people, because my biggest fear of mirrors have always been like if it's a two-way mirror. Like I've always been scared. Like if I see like a huge mirror, or like if a mirror is in like a place that's like kind of weird and I feel like they can't see me like naked or whatever, I always get paranoid. I'm like, what if somebody's like looking through it?
No, for me it's like if I'm in a haunted movie, I would hate mirrors. But if I'm in like an intruder situation, I think mirrors are your best friend.
Isn't it a bad omen to like break mirrors?
It is. What happens to like mirrors that haven't been used in a very long time?
I think I'm pretty sure they just either break or they're recycled.
Ah, so the recycling guy has a lot of like bad...
If they're gateway to hell, then that's a different story.
Ah, nice. I have like a one paragraph thing that just made me shit myself. Here we go.
Ooh, yeah. Yes.
So this one's called The Puppy in the Basement.
No, stop it! I hate basement stories so much! Oh, fuck me. Okay, fine.
Mommy told me never to go in the basement, but I wanted to see what was making that noise. It kind of sounded like a puppy, and I wanted to see the puppy. So I opened the basement door and tiptoed down a bit. I didn't see a puppy, and then Mommy yanked me out of the basement and yelled at me. Mommy never yelled at me before, and it made me sad. I sat and cried. Then Mommy sat me down and told me never to go into the basement again, and she gave me a cookie. That made me feel better, so I just didn't ask her why the boy in the basement was making weird noises like a puppy, or why he had no hands and feet. Thank you.
I fucking hate that so much.
I know.
I don't know what it is, but basements and attics, they get me. They get me so much.
Dude, attics are terrifying. Basements, you know, can live with. Attics, no.
I get this fully from my mom. I know I get this from my mom, because while we were like house hunting like several years back, right?
Uh-huh.
My dad was like, okay, let's like get like a two-story house, right? It was during that time. And my brother and I, pretty young, so we were just in school. They didn't like ask us for like our opinions on the house. They were just like, it has to be like big enough for them to run around.
Cancer. Hashtag cancer. Uncle, auntie, I hope you're listening to this. I cancel you.
Then they'll ask like, what does she mean by canceled? And I'm like,
it means I'm giving you a hug. God.
All of Twitter just raging. But my mom, like, she like saw this one house that was like really, really pretty, and they were like actually going to finalize on it. And the person like selling the house and whatever, and they were like, this house has a basement. My mom was like, nope. And then they're just like, oh, if it helps, there's an attic right above your room. And she's like, hell fucking no.
Oh my God. See, I think I know neither of you have seen Hereditary, but if anyone who's listening has, it was terrifying. Like, half the reason I hate attics now is because of that disgusting movie. Terrifying. Fucking terrifying. It's so gory.
Gory. Sorry.
So what the fuck is wrong with you?
What's going on with you? I apologize.
No, we love it. No, but it's like, see, my thing is, I don't mind attics. If the attic has been turned into like a livable thing, like if it's a bedroom sort of thing, I don't mind it.
No, exactly.
But if it's a storage area, if you're using anything as a storage area, I am like, I'm terrified. No,
if it's like beams and stuff, like if the attic is like, it's like just like the hollow roof. Like, you're not supposed to put anything up there.
Yeah.
Don't want it. Like, if it's like a basement where it's like, there's just like the heating system or whatever, which is mostly a thing in America, I know, but like still. As scared as I am, though, I'm stupid as well. So if you have a basement,
if it's
or an
livable,
attic, please send a video.
If it's livable and has like nice furnishing, I won't hate it. But if it looks like, you know, those abandoned, dirty, dusty places, I am directly terrified.
Yeah,
I blame it on the horror movies.
Basements that are turned to like bachelor pads and shit like that, and they look very, very pretty. Like
I've seen
that. But like, I think even like in that show, what was it called? I'm Not Okay With This, and that like the dude, like he's staying with us, like his room is like in the basement and it looks so cool. But yeah. But anyways, point being, if you have a basement or attic, as scared as I am, please send a video or any fun stories to dudeiswaterwet@gmail.com. I want to hear that and I want to see it.
Also, follow us on @dudeiswaterwet on Instagram. Shameless plug. Also, speaking of basements, Sunidhi removed this, but like, we have another house in like between Delhi and Gurgaon, and that has a basement. So, wanna come? It that has a staircase with like space under it as well.
No, fuck you. No.
No, but it's very pretty. It's very pretty, so it's fine.
I trust you on that. We can, yeah, we can do that. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, sorry, back to the...
I feel like I have to burp, but it's not coming out.
Oh, what a shame.
Whatever. Talking,
if you don't put it in...
That's such a baby problem, right? Like, kids have that issue. Like, I want to burp, but I'm not able to.
And then she just goes like, Mom, can you pat my back?
Sharma would, though. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, she would. Exactly. Yeah, I'm not saying would this I, with any joke intended. I know this
I would not
happen.
Ask my mom to do that.
Okay. If you we do not believe you.
Yeah.
Part 10,000 of them talking absolute shit out of their asses. Anyways, yay. Stairs is the story.
Oh, God.
In 1984, there lived an old widowed lady by herself in a two-story house who was completely immobile and bound to her wheelchair. Ever since the mysterious death of her husband, she required the aid of a carer who would visit her daily to help her with everyday tasks. What made it even more difficult was the fact that the two floors of the house were only connected by an old staircase inside. When the old lady needed to move between the two, the carer would have to carry her frail body like an infant up and down the stairs. One day, the police received a call from the widow. There had been a murder. Since police units were scarce at the time... Since police units were scarce at the time, and the murderer had already fled the scene, only one detective was sent out to conduct the initial crime scene report. He arrived to see the carer's body splayed out on the floor with her vocal cords ripped out in a pool of blood on the first level of the house, with the old lady atop the staircase in her wheelchair watching him, still and silently, seemingly in shock. He could immediately rule her out as a suspect due to her inability to move and up and down the stairs, and because she was trapped up there at the time the murder took place. It was similar to the death of her husband many years ago, who had suffocated in his sleep on the couch downstairs. The detective put on his gloves, took photos, swabbed for the evidence, and covered the body until the coroner arrived later. All routine business. He scoped the house downstairs for any clues, then asked the old lady if he could look upstairs. She insisted that she was upstairs the whole time and no one apart from her had been up there that day. But regardless of this, the detective ascended the staircase to which she hesitantly moved aside. Beyond the staircase, there was a narrow corridor with three closed doors along it. He checked behind each of the doors, the empty bedroom, nothing, the bathroom, nothing. He became anxious as he slowly made his way to the final bedroom where the old lady slept. He opened it and everything looked normal. A bed, a wardrobe, and a bedside table with a lamp. He checked every wall of the room in horror, as it was not what he discovered, but it was what he didn't discover that made him stop dead in his tracks and slowly reach for his gun in its holster. It was a detail so minor that they had completely overlooked it. In... Why can't I read this? That I... It was a detail so minor...
Dyslexia.
Fucking ableist. It was a detail so minor that they had completely overlooked it on the last investigation of the husband's death. There was no phone upstairs. He suddenly heard a noise as he withdrew his gun and rushed out of the room, only to find an empty wheelchair atop the stairs.
Dun dun dun!
Shut the fuck up, damn. Okay.
That's
I see why you're scared of humans.
It's fun. I like it. I approve.
Just no mask is being removed. She just is standing up. That's just it. She wasn't bound to a wheelchair the entire time. That's the big reveal.
What?
It's pretty scary still.
I don't know what else to do.
It's like, I haven't seen that movie, but like that Andhadhun, I think that's what the movie's name is.
Yes.
Oh.
It's kind of like that vibe.
Oh.
Basically, guy pretended to be blind, witnessed a murder, but then it just... plot twist,
hey, don't spoil Andhadhun. It's a good movie.
Sorry. Redacted?
I do redact one time and you want it everywhere now.
I want it everywhere.
Yeah, because it's our best joke. Like, it's our best joke by a lot.
Yeah, like our fucking outro. Yesterday I was asking I was in a serious meeting last night and people were fighting, like, like there were three people fighting at each other's throats, and I was like, wait, I just have one question. I went, dude, is water wet? They're like, what the fuck? I was like, no, no. I
really?
Mean,
did you actually do that?
Like, it's happened three times this weekend. That one actually got me into deep shit.
That is so funny to me that that's actually become a habit. I mean, yeah, to be fair, though, anytime.
I didn't intend to. It was like an involuntary, like, reflex.
Yeah, no, honestly, though, like, it happens.
Anytime I'm like, I have to ask something, I have one question. Anytime I say that, you know, I want to ask something or can I ask you something, like, dude, is water wet? And
yeah,
then
yeah,
all
exactly.
Just like, shut up.
Yeah, exactly. Even now, it's kind of like that. Like, somebody's like, in a very serious tone, like, somebody will be like, hey, can I just ask you something? It's like really important.
I should not.
Like,
I'm ready
vital.
To scream. I'm ready to like. I'm like, yes, I'm getting it ready. If someone asks me, like, I have one last thing to ask, and I'm just preparing my vocal cords for the ending banter. Like, yes.
Yeah. And I'll just be like, yep, ask away. And
you're just like, now I will shout.
Yeah. Doesn't matter what they're about to say. I just start yelling about like how water is wet or not.
Exciting.
Oh my god. Imagine being a therapist and this is
oh
what
God,
you're doing.
Oh God, no. It's good that we're
they're
not
just like,
going
just like,
there.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Like the person to the therapist. And the therapist's like, go ahead. It's like,
is
dude,
water
is
wet?
Water wet? Oh, that's calm. And they just like start like aggressively writing notes.
Like, this is just, yeah, no.
They're like, it's mental illness.
It's mental illness.
This one needs to be put in observation
needs
for the next 24
down.
Hours. Put down.
Put,
oh.
Put down like Old Yeller. Yeah.
So back to 1900s, yes. I see. Just like, yeah. This one needs to have a lobotomy performed, yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like there aren't enough meds in the world. We just need to like take
wasn't
a chunk of the brain out.
For context and for like Anika explaining, which I don't usually do, if you all don't know, lobotomy is basically people drilled a hole into other people's skulls in the 1900s, shoved an ice pick in there and moved it around. And this was a cure for anxiety, depression,
like
ADHD,
a bunch of mental
especially.
Homosexuality. Yeah.
Homosexuality.
As well.
And later was...
schizophrenia
and later was also marketed to women saying that you won't get ugly or old if you do this, so
yeah hysteria apparently. Yeah, who did this happen to? Some famous person. I think it was like Roosevelt's like daughter this happened to. I
oh,
think
shit,
let me search
really?
It quickly. Yeah, she
there
got
were,
a lobotomy.
There were fucking 50,000 people that got this procedure done. I don't know.
Yeah no, Kennedy, John F. Kennedy's sister, Rosemary Kennedy, had gotten a lobotomy.
No, but it's literally so stupid. It's like, you have ADHD, let me just shove an ice pick in there. You're basically a vegetable, like, cured.
Yeah, because they think that, like, when you're, like, really silent and quiet, that, like, fixes it. The TV show Ratched, go fucking watch it.
Don't spoil, yeah.
It, like, I'm just gonna say, it does, like, get into the topic of, like, lobotomy. And it is wholly, like, intense and... it is so much. And it takes a lot for me to say, like, a show is, like, really intense. Okay? I'm just saying.
I'm
fully
so
recommended. But, like, the next season is, like, I don't know when it's going to come out. I'm so stoked, though.
But anyways, back to horror stories.
Do you want to do one or shall I do my last one?
Okay, I'll do it because I suck at, you know, horror stories. I'll just throw in
You're
comments.
You're not doing bad. Shut up.
I just throw in random comments in there and, like, why are you doing this? Okay, so get ready for nasal voice and raspy whatever. I don't know. Okay, so this story is, I don't know, written by whom. I'm not reading it off anywhere. It's just something that someone told me in second grade and I have been terrified ever since. It also adds up to my fear of the dark and staircases. So, yeah. Basically, there's a little girl. Her name's Sally. She's adorable in every which way. She's, I think, 7 or 8 years old. Target audience, you know, I was in second or third grade. That's what my age would have been. Anyways, yeah, so she's 7 or 8 years old. She's beautiful. She's cute. She has nice, like, pigtails. And she has an elder brother as well as, you know, her parents. All four of them live together in a pretty big house. Has 2 floors. And the brother and the father usually, like, hang around on the ground floor while Sally's room is on the 2nd floor. So that's the scenic part, I guess. Anyway, so Sally once was walking home and pestered her mother into buying her a doll that she saw in a toy shop, which is Yeah, like pretty characteristic for their age. Tanvi's gone.
That's fine. Continue.
Okay. I think she's scared. Pussy. Oh no, she's back.
Pussy behavior. Sorry, I accidentally closed the wrong tab.
Ah, okay, okay. No issues, yeah. So yeah, yeah, she pestered her mother into buying her a doll that she saw in the top, in 1 second. She pestered her mother into buying her a doll that she saw in a toy shop. Her mother was irritated and just obliged and got her this doll. So now the doll is pretty cute. It has, well, it's wearing a dress and it looks pretty. That's what kids like. So the shopkeeper seemed way too happy to sell the doll to the child, which the mother found a little weird, but she went along with it. Anyway, I mean, so sale. In the next, like, it's a sale. Yeah,
very rarely see shopkeepers not be happy when selling things.
Yeah,
just saying. Yeah.
Anyways, yeah. So in the upcoming weeks, the father passed away due to a motorcycle accident. The brother found himself very severely injured and in the hospital after something that went wrong in a school sports carnival or something. And yeah, so it was just the mother and the daughter alone at home, and the mother was obviously grief-stricken and on some sort of pills for sleeping because of the father's tragic passing. Anyways, Sally is pretty distraught as well, but being pretty young, she doesn't think much of it, you know, children. And yeah, she's gonna go to sleep. She is so asleep when she...
Jeez, her father died, she doesn't even care.
Jesus, she's 7 years awful. Old. Okay, now this is my nightmare. Still a brat. Personified.
Yeah, continue.
So yeah, she was asleep in her room.
Just in case, I'm so sorry. Just in case it wasn't clear, I was kidding. Don't come for me.
yeah.
Yeah, continue.
Nothing Tanvi says is without sarcasm, that's all. Anyways. So, yeah, Sally was asleep in her bedroom, virtually alone in the house. And she woke up around 3 a.m. She looked over at her clock and it was 3:33. And of course it was. She's just looking around and she couldn't fall back asleep until she heard a thud next to the stairs. She's very confused. She looked around and saw nothing. And decided to investigate. She went downstairs and found her doll sitting at the base of the stairs. She was very confused because she was almost certain she'd left it on the couch, but she just let it be. Next night, again, wakes up around 3 a.m. Very confused again. This time, it's around 3:30. She looks around for a bit, but nothing. At 3:33 a.m., she hears another thud, but this time, it's followed by
Sally, I'm on the third step.
This went on until she was on the 12th and the last step.
Sally, I'm in the hallway. Sally, I'm in your doorway. Sally, I'm on your bed. Oops, Sally, you're dead.
Yeah, okay, so just one thing. I'm going to be calling you guys tonight because I won't be able to sleep.
Fast forward to next morning where they find Sally's intestines wrapped up around the bedpost. So, yeah, this is why I am terrified of stairs, the dark, and
well,
nighttime.
I mean, at least it was a happy ending.
Oh, God.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
It was terrifying. Like, the whole Sally bit, like, girl, like, if you're gonna kill me, at least don't sing. Oh my God, fucking terrifying. Oh yeah, and the doll was seated on the bed where Sally was supposed to be asleep.
No.
Yeah.
Nice. That's eerie. That's so fucking eerie.
I'm telling you, dolls, staircases, the night.
That's such a like girl boss.
She's fully shitposting.
Girl boss gaslight. What? I don't know.
Gatekeep.
Yeah.
Because imagine like killing somebody and staying on the seat of the crime. Like, you don't leave. You're like, I killed this bitch and I stay here, motherfucker.
But is it fair to call a doll a girl boss? Because it could be an it.
No,
girl
it was
a
was
gender
like...
neutral doll. Okay?
It is. Ladies, girl boss, dude.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
They're all genuinely.
Also, wait. I'm sorry, but like, before like you started, before you started like reading the story, I was like, I wanted to like go back to the
I
whole
was
Rosemary
not reading
Kennedy
the
thing.
Story.
Sorry, telling the story.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is from memory, third grade.
That's impressive. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. It terrifies me today.
I no longer have dolls. I used to sleep with like a doll that was like a baby doll, but I stopped after a while. I think we still owned it.
I don't like stuffed toys
that
look like humans. I just had one, which I still do, but it's just like locked away somewhere. I only exclusively like stuffed toy animals. So yeah.
I think we donated my one, but like it literally was that type that if you like held it up like a baby, it would like its eyes would open, like it's got the weighted eyeballs, so like open. If you lay it down, the eyes close. And sometimes I would lay it down and the eyes would be open.
I was trying to find another version. Like I was trying to find the story online before we started so that I could read. But I did not find that. Instead, I found a story which was similar to the Sally one. But the person said that make sure you close the doll's eyes before you sleep. So yeah, enjoy, do with that what you will.
I no longer own that, so that's good.
Aww. How do you know it won't come back in your garbage can tomorrow and then on your bed?
It's been 5 years.
Sunidhi, I'm on the first.
I sucker punched that baby, okay?
Damn.
But yeah, like I said, I was like reading up on the whole Rosemary Kennedy thing because I needed to know more. I fully forgot. So Rosemary Kennedy, she like received a lobotomy. And the procedure how it was done, like she got like two holes drilled in her skull, through which like small metal spatulas were inserted in order to like break the link between the prefrontal cortex and the rest of the brain.
Yep.
And so apparently like, the doctor, Dr. Freeman, he also like inserted an ice pick through her through like her eye socket to like do it. And get this, right? Throughout the entire procedure, Rosemary was awake, speaking with doctors and reciting poems to nurses. They knew the procedure was over when she stopped speaking. And immediately after the procedure, the Kennedys were like, fuck, something's wrong. Because after this, she no longer could walk or talk. And she was fully, like, you know, immobilized.
I'm telling you, it's like ADHD versus like, vegetable. That was what it was in 1900.
Yeah, and she suffered from, like, seizures and very violent seizures and mood swings. Of course, like at the time, like mental illness was like very stigmatized, especially then it was very stigmatized. So they didn't do anything about it. And they were just like, okay, this is getting in the way, you know, we need to like fix this. And so lobotomy.
It's, so what you said about the patients being awake during this, that was usually their measure for if they've cut enough.
But wouldn't that fucking hurt, though?
Yeah.
Like an ice pick through your eye? Like, how do you continue?
They used to keep going until the person stopped or until the person, like, was almost on the brink of passing out.
That's fucking mental to me. Oh, my God. Because, okay, I really want to, like, talk about Ratchet because that's, like, where, like, I've, like, for the first time, like, I saw, like, a reenactment, like, how a lobotomy is. And it's, like, it freaked me the fuck out. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it's just freaky. It's so freaky.
Oh, my God. Is it gory? I can't watch it if it's gory.
It's not, from what I remember, no, it's not that gory. It's more like the sound effects. The sound effects get you.
Sounds
that's what I'm saying,
terrifying.
Don't watch it in the nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it, like, I binged it throughout the night, and I should not have done that. I could not, like, I could sleep, but I was, like, kind of, like, unnerved. I was a little paranoid, which I don't know why. It's, like, it doesn't have, like, ghosts. It doesn't have, it's mostly, like, actual, like, stuff from, like, olden times and, like, how people dealt with it. There's no way of describing it. I'm gonna, like, maybe rewatch it. Tell me if you're watching, so I will rewatch it with you. But
okay.
It's freaky. But talking about freaky, the last story that I have for you, it's a fairly short one, pretty predictable, and I'm pretty sure we've heard it. Best, you know, to end it on something like this.
Mondays?
So. What?
Nothing.
Okay.
No, it's like world's shortest horror story. Monday. I was like, oh, okay. Feel that.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of words, like, okay, given that I don't like horror all that much, I do like sad stories, though. So, can I just really quickly tell you like the shortest sad story I've heard?
Tanvi.
No, you beat me to it.
Oh no. Shut up, seriously, nice. That could not have been it.
Was it actually gonna be that?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Bro, no, we're becoming the same person. Oh no.
Okay, fine, I have another one. I have another one.
Anika.
It's a sad word, this thing.
Okay, good. No. I was like, no way,
I'm not
this
gonna
predictable.
Do the same joke twice. Like, I was gonna say Sunidhi.
Mm-hmm. I just counted, like, dude is water wet and realized it's four words. Sorry.
Exactly. No, mine is a six word. It's a very famous, like, Ernest Hemingway.
Okay.
Like, allegedly Ernest Hemingway story. But for sale, baby shoes never worn.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
What?
Sunidhi, did you not get it?
Like, let her for process.
Yeah,
for sale, baby shoes never. Does it mean like?
Yeah.
She's so slow. Oh my god, Sunidhi. What's the time lag?
Got to wear the, yeah.
That hurts. That's sad.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Sunidhi.
Anika.
I'm in the doorway. Okay, I'm done.
Damn right. Get that sexy ass.
Oh my god.
R.I.P. the pussy. Hey.
No.
Immediately, anybody that wants to haunt me, you're just gonna skedaddle.
Yeah.
She barely has a functioning brain, so let's not bother.
Do you want to hear the world's stupidest short story?
Sunidhi.
Yeah.
Now it's just gonna be a sad running gag, like a very, very painful running gag.
The problem is we're three people who think we're funny in our own ways, and we shit on each other for trying to be funny.
I don't think
Sunidhi, please shut up. You laugh anytime someone like farts or burps. Okay.
Yes.
In her defense, farts are funny.
Yeah, they are. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
my humor is very broken. Stop. My humor is very broken.
Just like your soul and your will to live. Let's continue.
Ayo!
Hey.
Okay.
Oh no.
Called out everyone here.
Oh no.
You must hate yourself
why
if you're
you,
listening
why
to
did
us.
Why did you make this so sad?
I'm sorry.
It's supposed to be scary.
No.
Or the last one's kind of just like spooky wooky. If you have a fear of lightning, now you're going to be more scared of it. So, story is called, again, very originally, lightning. And this is how it goes.
We had just moved into a little ranch house in the suburbs. Storybook neighborhood. Quiet, friendly neighbors, picket fences, the whole nine yards.
Literally.
Suffice to say that. Yeah.
Like 9 yards literally, or is it the saying?
I don't know. It just says the whole 9 yards.
It's the saying. Okay, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's the same.
Suffice to say that this was supposed to be a new start for me. A recently single dad and my 3-year-old son. A time to move on from the previous year's drama and stress. I view the thunderstorm as a metaphor for this fresh start. One last show of theatrics before the dirt and grime of the past would be washed away. My son loved it anyway, even with the power out. It was the first big storm he'd ever seen. Flashes of lightning flooded the bare rooms of our house, imparting the unpacked boxes with long, creeping shadows, and he jumped and squealed as the thunder boomed. It was well past his bedtime before he'd finally settled down enough to go to sleep. The next morning, I found him awake in bed and smiling. "I watched the lightning at my window," he proudly announced. A few mornings later, he told me the same thing.
"You're silly," I said. "It didn't storm last night. You were only dreaming."
"Oh." He seemed somewhat disheartened. I ruffled his hair and told him not to worry, there should be another storm soon. Then it became a pattern. He would tell me how he watched the lightning outside his window at least twice a week, despite there being no storms. Recurring dreams of that first memorable thunderstorm, I figured. It's easy to hate myself in hindsight. Everybody assures me there's nothing I could have done, no way I could have known. But I'm supposed to be the guardian of my child, and these are useless words of comfort. I constantly relive that morning, making my coffee, pouring milk over my cereal, and picking up the newspaper to read about the pedophile local authorities had just arrested. It was front page stuff. Apparently, this guy would select a young target, usually a boy, stake out their house for a while, and take flash photos of them through their window while they slept.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Sometimes he did more. My stomach sank as the connection was made. At the time, it was merely something from a child's imagination. In retrospect, it is the scariest thing I've ever heard. About a week before the predator was caught, my son came up to me in his pajamas. Guess what? He asked.
What?
No more lightning at my window. I played along.
Oh, that's nice. It finally died down, huh?
No, now it's in my closet. I've yet to see the photos police have collected.
What the fuck?
That's fucking scary.
That is so beyond freaky. The fact that, like, I don't know, somebody broke into your kid's home. Holy shit.
Oh my God.
Terrifying.
Imagine how, like, imagine the dad must be, like, so relieved, like, oh, the flashes is gone, that means the predator's gone.
Yeah.
And then the kid's like, it's in my closet. Holy fuck, and you have to go, and you know it's, there's,
but
the
listen, my question
is, still there.
My question is, if you know, like, if you've sort of made the connection, right, where you're like, he's been seeing flashes outside his window,
mm-hmm.
and I know there's a pedophile on the loose who, like, at least produces child pornography, because naked pictures of children
yeah.
would constitute child pornography.
Oh, yeah.
Why would you not just have your kid stay in your room?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. So I was like, I feel like I would have done that. I feel like I would have, like, put my kid
yeah.
in my room, locked
first
the doors
move.
And windows.
The first
yeah.
move would be to, like, move your kid into your room. Because you
yeah.
would... I don't know, because your first instinct would be to...
Because the son is 3 years old. You have more reason
yeah.
to put him in your room.
Yeah, even if they were 15, and I was like, oh, somebody's taking pictures of you without your consent because they're staking outside your window, and we weren't in a position... But I know most people can't really move on a whim, so that's fine. But you can, at the very least, move them into your room.
Yeah.
So they feel safer. Or, like...
Again,
creepypasta,
though.
There's just so many
they have
things
to make
that you could do.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things you could do, and you would do in this case. Yeah.
Let's just add, like, one or... Let me just find one or two short stories. I don't think we want to end with pedophilia.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Ow. Ah, I stubbed my toe.
Okay, so I have, like, one or two more very short two-liner stories. So let's just get into it. The first one's called Spooky Visitors. The last thing I saw was my alarm clock flashing 12:07 before she pushed her long, rotting nails through my chest, her other hand muffling my screams. I sat bolt upright, relieved it was only a dream. But as I saw my alarm clock reading 12:06, I heard my closet door open.
Yeah, I've heard this one.
Oh, fucking terrifying.
And it's freaky, yeah.
Yeah. I have, like, one or two more short ones if you want to hear them.
I mean, it is 1 hour, 25 minutes now.
Yeah, why not? Okay, so the first one goes like this. I wake up and everything feels wrong. It's too quiet outside. I look out of the window and see everyone standing still, looking at my house.
What?
This is some weird cult shit. I don't like... Like, imagine people just standing around your house and staring in silence.
That is freaky. Okay. Although, I'm pretty sure that's an episode of Bender in that one, Black Mirror.
Oh, shit, yeah.
It wasn't, like, in that... I'm not gonna exactly, like, spoil it, but it's, like, that one person was, like, a TV show or something.
Yeah. Okay, so the second one, I am terrified because this happened to me yesterday. So, you know that weird full-body twitch you get sometimes when you're falling asleep?
Mm-hmm.
If there was a camera pointed at you and you saw what it captured at that moment, you'd never sleep again.
No, stop it.
That's
freaky.
I'm so scared, yeah.
That's freaky. Yeah. Sometimes, like, I'm really tempted to, like, maybe, like, record myself while sleeping just to see, like, what I do.
Dude,
but
don't.
Then
you,
I'm so freaked out
yeah,
by it.
Yeah, you... I doubt it'll be flattering, and second, it's, like, it's just scary. Don't... It'll be weird to be recorded while you sleep. No.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I have recorded myself. Phantom eye like, thing, like sleeping. When you feel like someone's staring at you, I feel like cameras kind of give off the same vibe.
I mean, I'm the idea of camera on me doesn't particularly bother me that much, especially if I've set it up. So
yeah, like, okay, yeah. Honestly, we have some CCTVs in my house, but like I cannot sleep in front of it.
Okay, guys, I have one question.
Okay, what is it now?
Like, okay, so you were talking about your dreams, right? So even in your dreams, would you say that like the water was wet or?
See, I know what you're saying, but then as Sally said, like, when she was standing in your doorway.